Welcome back to
Something
Ominous. This is your host, Jessica.
And I'm Karina.
And this is
Ominous Encounters.
Episode 2.
I know, I'm excited. These are my favorite episodes, even though we've only done one, but I'm always excited for this one. I think I just love hearing everybody's stories.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited about these stories because I have one of your sisters.
I know.
Yeah, and it happened at my house.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and start. And this was sent over by Juan, and it says, this was January of 2023. I believe it was day 7 in Mexico in my town, Ibarra, Michoacán. We usually do fiestas a la Virgencita, so we do parties in honor of Virgin Mary to celebrate her and everything like that. And I had to look it up because I was like, wait, January of 2023? But I looked up and it says that in Ibarra, Michoacán, they have a whole celebration from the 2nd of January to the 12th of January celebrating the Virgin Mary. Mm. So I think it's just like 10 days of just partying and like celebrations and everything. So yeah, it was day 7 and it was about 3 or 4 in the morning. Me and my cousin had already went home. We were a little drunk, so we laid down in bed. And we left the door open. Out of nowhere, everything went quiet. No noises, no anything. And all I hear is a cry going, "Ay!" I woke my cousin up. I was like, "Hey, did you hear that?" He was like, "Hear what?" I said, "It's somebody crying, like a woman crying." And then he was like, "Nah, man, you're tripping. Go back to sleep." And then I was like, okay, yeah. In my mind, I wasn't scared since I was drunk. I thought somebody was with a speaker or trying to play a prank on us, but the streets were empty. Like, you couldn't hear anything anymore. And the next day, when I told my parents, they said, it's La Llorona. She's real. I was like, I want to hear it again. But they said, the second time, you won't hear her. You'll just see her. You only hear her once. After you hear her, you'll see her.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that last part gave me goosebumps. I was like, oh.
So, like, he hasn't seen her, of course, right?
No, it was only whenever he was, like, in Mexico, I guess, partying with his cousin. But no, they said, the next time you won't hear her, you'll see her.
La Llorona is so scary just to think about her. I feel like, I don't know, man. I don't know. She's creepy.
It is creepy. Because I feel like even whenever you talk about her, it's like you're calling her. You know? That's how I feel. Okay, let's not talk about her anymore.
Your eyes, you're like, wait, I just remember
what happened to me. I just connected it.
You hear the water turn on next time again, Cuddy.
The flashbacks.
So I'll go next with the story. So I'm going to read everything Lily sent over. And then I'm going to talk about what I remember that day.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So Lily says, I remember being at Jessica's house when I had what I would call my first paranormal encounter. She would always talk about her house being haunted. And I always had an iffy feeling when being there. But one day, Jessica was waiting for her friend to come so she can help her with her hair. I was sitting at the desk they had. The desk was against the wall, facing her room. As I was sitting there on her laptop, her dog Pee-wee started growling, which led to barking towards her room. So I got up to shoo him away, but as soon as I looked into Jessica's room, I clearly heard, shh, coming from her room. Instant chills all over my body. Both Pee-wee and I ran towards the door where Jessica was, and I tripped over an extension cord thinking, damn, this fucking ghost got me. I couldn't tell Jessica anything because her friend had just gotten there and I didn't want to freak her out either. I sat on the couch the whole time with my feet up and Pee-wee next to us. And I remember this. Let me tell you what I remember from that night. So, yes, I was having a friend over and I was going to help her curl her hair because, like, my curls would last for days, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm not a hairstylist, but when I style people's hair, their curls would last for days. So, my friend was like, hey, can I go over? I was like, sure, come on over. I'll fix your hair. I don't know if you were there or you had left.
No, I wasn't there. I think I got there after, like, when your friend was already there.
Yeah, she was already there. So, I remember I go outside and I see her, I greet her, and then I hear a loud boom. And I was like, what the fuck happened? I was like, okay, let's go inside. I'm going to go check that out or whatever. And I go in and I see Lily like crawling up. Like she got up so fast. And I was like, are you okay? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, what happened? She's like, I tripped. But no, I'm fine. I'm fine. But I could tell that something happened to Lily because she was very serious and mm-hmm. she looked nervous. Mm-hmm. And she was kind of like bunched up on the sofa. Crisscross applesauce. Yes, seriously. I want to say after she wanted to leave. I can't remember that part. And then she tells me maybe a few days later. Mm-hmm. And I was like, was it my dad? And she was like, no. And I was like, wait, no, it wasn't my dad. Because I remember my dad was asleep because I had just checked on him before my friend got there. She was like, I heard it. I heard the shh coming from your room, not your dad's room. Because the way the desk was against the wall, it's a little hallway. And that little hallway has my parents' room or my dad's room. And then next to that room is my room. So where you sit on the desk, you can clearly see my door. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I believe her because this is what happened in my room one time. I was asleep and I had Pee-wee on the bed because I sleep with my dogs, right? Mm-hmm. So I had him laying on the bed and he wakes me up in the middle of the night growling. And he's growling and I'm like, what the heck is he growling at? So I open my eyes and I'm looking and I can see him walking from one corner of the bed to the other corner, back and forth. And he was like staring at the closet. And then from the closet, he would move his head to the right, growl, walk to that corner of the bed, and then would move his head to the left, and then walk that way. And as he was doing that, he was growling. It's like he was following someone. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, rrr. And then he starts barking, and I was like, oh, fuck no. So I grabbed Pee-wee, because I got scared. Back then, I was really scared. And I remember I put him in the back room. I was like, you're going to sleep here, and I'm going to sleep in the living room. And he was still crying when he was in the back room. So I bring him to the living room and he's in the living room with me. I fell asleep in the sofa and nothing happened after that. But I could not sleep in that room for like the following few weeks. And then after that, I was like, maybe it's because the closet door was open. So I made sure that my closet door was always closed. And that wasn't the first time he did something in that room, but that was the scariest.
Wasn't that the time that you dreamt of the devil?
It was around that time that I had the dream of the devil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember that too.
Well, I had the dream of the devil before I got Pee-wee. Because I remember with the dream of the devil, I had the Chihuahua Coco. Remember her?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when I woke up in my dream, whatever dream I was having, I wake up. And it was crazy because in that dream, I remember like the devil was laughing at me. And it was wanting me to go to the room. I don't know what the heck it was with the room because I had fallen asleep in the living room watching TV. And my mom didn't wake me up to go to the room. She was like, I guess she just left me there. Mm-hmm. No estaba tapada, like I didn't have a cover or anything. I just fell asleep. And I know that in my dream, when the devil was laughing at me and kept telling me to go in the room, I was like, no, I'm not going to go in the room. I know you want me to go in there because you want to trap me and all this other stuff. And in my dream, Coco jumps off of me. Like I could see myself asleep in my dream. Mm-hmm. Like if I was astral projecting. So I can see how I was laying down. I can see how Coco jumped off of me and starts barking and growling towards the kitchen. And in my dream, I could see myself laying down, turning, looking back to the kitchen, and the devil was standing at the kitchen door, like right where the arch is. And I wake up. But when I wake up, Coco is literally barking, growling, facing the kitchen, and my head is turned to the kitchen. But I wasn't looking at the kitchen, like my head was turned that direction. Mm-hmm. And when I woke up, my eyes were straight at Coco, and then I saw that, or I felt how I was. And I was like, this is my fucking dream. And I did not turn. I didn't go back to sleep. I remember I turned on the light, turned on the TV, and I stayed in the living room till like my mom woke up. Mm-hmm.
Do I remember that time? There was like so much crazy shit happening in your house, particularly in your room.
Yeah.
And the kitchen.
Yeah.
And the kitchen too.
It was a lot was going on in my room and in the kitchen. And I think a lot of it had to probably do with me. Shit, I don't know.
Yeah. It was weird. But it was a lot anything, during that time though. where it even happened to Lily, where she even heard it.
Yeah. I don't know. It was weird.
I love that story. Okay, so next, I actually had my in-laws send in their stories. So I'm excited to read theirs. This one is from Cristina. This happened when I was in high school in Matamoros. The school had two floors. So there was a time where someone was bringing the Ouija board and on our breaks or at lunch, they would form in groups behind the school or behind rooms, but hidden from the teachers so they wouldn't get mad at us. There was one day when me and my friends were on the second floor, but could see directly below us that they were playing on the first floor. And my friend kept telling me, come on, let's go watch. And I would say, no, that stuff scares me. But we got the courage and went downstairs. At that time, I was also wearing a little cross necklace. So when we got downstairs, the planchette on the Ouija board stopped moving. It didn't want to answer any questions. In my mind, I thought, well, it must be because they're moving it and manipulating it themselves. So they asked the question, why don't you want to move? And then it answered, because there are people here who don't believe. So they asked, what would you like us to do with those that don't believe? And the board replied, matar, which means kill. And so we all took off running. I was so scared. I can't say if they were the ones manipulating the board, but I do remember that when I was upstairs watching, the board would answer the questions that they had. So the board was like moving. She could see from upstairs, downstairs, that the little planchette was moving and answering their questions. Mm-hmm. I think it must have been because I had the little cross with me and I was protected that day.
I believe it. Did they say goodbye when they all took off running?
I don't know. I don't know if they did or if they closed that portal.
Dude, they must have left something open.
Mm-hmm. They must have. But I think she was protected. She said nothing happened to her after that.
Yeah.
It was just that she had the cross. And I think she was also in her head just kind of like, oh, like this must be fake. Like they're moving it around. Because she said whenever she got there in front of them, she thought in her head, like they must be like moving it.
Yeah, that could have. And I find it weird how you hear some stories where someone doesn't believe, but the Ouija board wants to make you a believer. So mm-hmm. they do things for you to believe, mm-hmm. like purposely do things. So they're like, oh, shit, this is real.
Yeah.
But in her case, it didn't want to play. It didn't want to do anything because she didn't believe.
Yeah.
So I guess it depends on whoever is playing the board, like mm-hmm. whatever spirit is playing the board.
Because like, I feel like on the other side.
Yeah. Because I feel like if it was a demon, they would do something. Mm-hmm. This must have been like an evil spirit because for you to mm-hmm. say matar.
Yeah. Must have been like a serial killer or something.
Oh, something. Yeah. Oh.
Don't play the Ouija board, guys. Don't do it.
But if you have, send us a story.
Yeah. If you have, let us know.
This story is from Shannon. And it's an email that we received that says, hearing footsteps. First, I want to say I love listening to your podcast. Wow. The stories are super interesting. And I even got my mom and Tia Norma to start listening here and there. I've caught up with all the episodes. So now I want to help contribute to your ominous things. So I want to share a story. Apparently, people think my mom's house is haunted. I used to believe it, and I still kind of do. But it's weird because the house was built back in the late 1990s. It was a new house when we moved in. Nobody died around there that I know of. So like, what's haunting it? I don't know, but weird stuff has happened. Please understand that I was living with this for most of my life. In my younger years, I used to be scared of hearing these noises around my house or feeling like I was being watched. After a while, it would be strange, but I learned to shake it off or avoid any confrontation as best as I could. This is the only time I couldn't come up with the reason as to why whatever happened, happened. One evening, I was sitting in the downstairs living room watching TV. I can't remember where my mom and dad were, but they were not in the house and they wouldn't be back for a few hours. I was the only person in the house along with my cat who sat on my lap. To explain the layout, I lived in a two-story house. The living room where I was sitting on the first floor was directly underneath the master bedroom and bathroom on the second floor. The bathroom was like a long hallway that was connected to the master bathroom. Outside of the master bathroom was the TV, which led to a mini open hall to the left. You could see the second floor from the mini hallway. If you looked towards the right of the mini hallway, you could see the foyer and the front door. If you looked towards the left where the stairs were located, you could see downstairs to the couch where I was sitting in the living room. By this time, we lived in the house for about a decade or so. You could hear the house setting at times. You could also hear the wood creak when someone was walking around. The difference between the two was noticeable because the wood would make sounds wherever you were stepping versus an occasional creak of the house setting. It's funny that I could tell who was walking around the house depending on how loud the steps sounded or walking patterns between my mom, dad, and an occasion of my cat. So I'm sitting downstairs watching TV and I hear a creak. I write it off as the house is setting, but then after a second creak, I became curious and lowered the volume of the TV. The house was quiet, so I thought it was probably the wind outside moving the house or something, and I raised the volume back to how it was. A few seconds later, I hear another creak, the weight of the wood louder and deeper. This was the sound of a footstep. I heard a second one follow, and I turned the TV volume down again. The sound was coming from my parents' closet. One step, then another. Not rushed, but consistent. One step, then another. One step, then another. I heard it move through the closet and slowly through the master bathroom. As soon as I heard it in between the bathroom and the master bedroom, I was on high alert. I stared at the ceiling, tracking the sound of the footsteps with my eyes. Whatever it was right above me, and I couldn't blame the noise on anything. I'm clearly hearing footsteps, and they were moving. It hadn't changed directions. It was moving towards my parents' bedroom door. I turned my head to face the open hallway on the second floor and I simply stared. Whatever was moving through my parents' bedroom would end up in the mini hallway on the second floor, and I would have to do something. As I heard the steps inching its way towards the door, my breath became more shallow and harder, as if my body was trying to decide between fight or flight. The footsteps stopped right in the middle of my parents' bedroom doorway. I didn't know whether to run away or stay where I was. 5 seconds went by and the house was eerily silent. By the fifth second, since the footsteps reached the front door, it was as if my body chose fight. I became hot and felt a surge of rage in my body creeping up towards my face. Was this thing trying to scare me? Did it even know I was downstairs? Was it just going to appear out of nowhere? Was it just trying to mess with me? I felt a heat spread through my face. I was pissed that this thing was trying to mess with me. It hadn't appeared. It hadn't moved. So I yelled out, "Hey!" Nothing. Again, I yelled, "Hey! Hey! Where are you?" No response. Thinking back to this moment, I have no idea why I did what I did.
I think I would have done the same, though. Yeah, I mean, I can see how she was getting mad, just kind of like, are you fucking with me right now?
Thinking back to this moment, I have no idea why I did what I did. I must have been out of my mind because I jumped out of the couch and I ran up 2 stairs at a time yelling, "I'm tired of this shit. Who the fuck are you? Get the fuck out." Ballsy. I had no forethought of what would happen if I did run into something. All that was on my mind was to tell this thing to fuck off. The door to my parents' room was wide open, which it usually wasn't. I didn't see anything, and I'm not sure if I could feel anything there because all I felt was the rage. I stomped towards the door and I saw nothing. I flipped on the lights to my parents' room. Nothing. I rushed into the bedroom, looking frantically for a sign that someone else was there. Nothing. The adrenaline was still rushing through my body as I walked downstairs whispering under my breath, "Over here fucking around. Where the fuck are you? Better stay the fuck out." Again. I have no idea why that was my reaction or why I was saying the things I was saying. If I think rationally back to that day, like, what could I have done against something appearing in front of me? But for some reason, at that moment, I felt like I could have taken on whatever I would face. Stupid? Probably. But it all worked out. I didn't see or hear anything for the rest of the night. Anything else that happened in that house happened to other people and not me. To this day, I have no idea what it could have been or why it was only in my parents' room. I asked my mom recently if she ever felt anything around the house anymore. She said after my dad passed away, everything kind of vanished. She believes my dad's spirit is protecting her now and got rid of whatever was around. I'm still not sure what was lurking around. I have more stories, but I'll send them over when I have more time. Keep doing what you're doing. The show is awesome. Shannon.
Dude, I got chills. Yeah. I like her reaction, though, because I feel like that's what you need to do to get rid of something in your house. Like, confront it and be like, "What do you want? This is my house. Like, you're a stranger here."
Yeah, that's like, kind of stand what I've heard. Ground.
Yeah, you stand your ground.
Yeah, because like she said, nothing ever happened to her, but other people would experience things. So she pretty much let them know, like, "You're not going to fuck with me."
Girls are probably like, "Oh, shit." Yeah. All right. My bad. Like,
sorry. Sorry. I didn't mean to scare you.
I was just kidding.
I think it's so sweet that, you know, her mom believes that her dad is protecting her. And I firmly believe that because if she hasn't experienced anything, I'm sure her dad's spirit is definitely protecting her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, protecting her and protecting her home.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was sweet.
Shannon, send the rest of your stories, please. Thank you.
Yes. Okay, so our next and final story is from Francisco. I was around 6 to 8 years old. This one particular night, a few of my friends and I from the neighborhood were playing hide and seek. We would hide behind houses and just different places. This road was a long road. I remember it was dark outside, maybe 8 or 9 at night. The boys would run in one direction and the girls would run in another direction. We ran towards a house that had the lights in the front, but it was dark in the backyard. So we go behind a little hill of dirt that was in the back of the house, and it was about 3 of us hiding. We were saying, "Be quiet so no one finds us," when all of a sudden, we see a huge ball of fire. There was nothing around it, so it wasn't like it was coming from the house or anything. We all start panicking, "What is it?" And someone says, "It's a witch." So we all ran all the way back to where the rest of the kids were to tell them. We all came back to the same spot, but it wasn't there anymore. So once I got home, I told my mom what happened, and immediately she says, "Oh, I know who it was." She said that behind a house in that same area, there lives a witch. She said witches can turn into balls of fire to move around. I remember the ball of fire was about our height, and it would move like in a floating motion. I know. I love this story because I'm like, oh my gosh, like we know what he's talking about. And as soon as he said, like, we saw a huge ball of fire in my head, I was like, oh, he saw a witch. And then he said his mom said a witch lived in that area. So that makes sense.
Yeah, I covered some of the witches. I know it's something all over Mexico and a lot mm-hmm. of people do believe that the witches turn into a ball of fire because that's yeah. how they travel. But I covered it on episode 13.
Well, I know my mom, when she said she would see them, she saw them from far away. So she was like, we would look into the mountains and you see them floating. They're not high in the sky. They're kind of like at the like height right at of the like peak. The mountain. Yeah. But this one was crazy because he like saw it right in front of him floating like at his level.
Oh, and it's the woman that lives right behind that house?
Yeah. Oh. Like it was a witch that lived around that area, like in one of those houses.
And you know how they would say, que agarraban, I mean, they would get the kids. You know how they say that yeah. they get the kids and they were yeah. playing hide and seek?
Yeah, that's true.
Oh my God. It's crazy.
I know. Wow, I really love these stories.
I know, me too. I really want to see the witches. I want to experience what our parents or our moms experienced.
Yeah. I know. My mom always says, like, we should go stay the night at the rancho and just, like, come out and see if we see a witch. But do you think they're even there anymore?
I'm sure.
I don't know. The rancho's kind of like a ghost town now.
Even better.
I know.
Well, that wraps up our ominous encounters. If you want to hear more of these stories, remember to send your encounters somethingominouspod@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram at Something Ominous Podcast, TikTok Something Ominous, YouTube Something Ominous, and don't forget to rate our podcast.
Thank you so much for listening.
Bye.
Bye.